The scripture text is taken today from the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devotion to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal, that we lose not the things eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Enthusiasm has been defined as energy that boils over and runs down the side of the pot. One of the most notable characteristics of the early church was that they really enjoyed what they were doing and did it with gusto and excitement. However, just in case there was a need for a reminder, the Apostle Paul encouraged them in Romans 9 verse 11 to never be lacking in zeal, but keep their spiritual fervor. This is called enthusiastic faith or godly enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is a fragile thing and must be cherished. Now, I'm going to confess something. The title of my sermon today is called Enthusiasm Makes the Difference. Well, that's not an original title. I actually plagiarized it or stole it from Dr. Norman Vincent Peale's book, Enthusiasm Makes the Difference. If you never have read the book, I encourage you to do so. It can really change your approach, your attitude, and your mindset about approaching all things, whether spiritual or not. It will make a difference. In Aviator Charles Lindbergh recounted his trip home from that famous solo transatlantic flight in 1927. After several days aboard ship heading home to America, he went up to the bridge during a severe storm. He watched it for a while and then said, "You know, I didn't know the ocean was so big. If anyone had told me, I wouldn't have tried to have flown it." Vince Lombardi, the legendary football coach of the Green Bay Packers, said once, "If you aren't fired with enthusiasm, you will be fired with enthusiasm." Enthusiasm pulls people out of the mundane and doldrums, plus makes us all feel fabulous and even act better. It glows and shines, plus resonates radiance in our faces. Well, of course, enthusiasm must be motivated or facilitated under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Continually, we should remember events and actions that keep our faith enthusiastic, which God does for us. God answers many of our prayers and provides for our daily needs. When we pray, for example, the Lord's Prayer, there is instilled positive reinforcement about God's guidance concerning us. If you look in the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22, you can read of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and one of those characteristics happens to be a term called joy. Now, joy may not be exactly the same thing as enthusiasm, but it's a close relative, if not a twin sibling, to enthusiasm. One thing that is forgotten about is positive expectation in our lives. We must expect God to hear and answer our prayers. Expect God to bless our faith. The drudgeries of life can create depression. Why do you think the pharmaceutical industry is making millions and millions of dollars off antidepressant medicines? It's because many people suffer from non-clinical depression and they need a perk-me-up. So, with all the negative news, and there's plenty out there, it is very easy to fall into that category of not anticipating much, but that is not God's fault. We bring a lot of it on ourselves. We ought to consider all the good that God does. It should make us smile. Missionary William Carey of India said, "Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God." The question should be, what happens with all that enthusiasm which we have stored in ourselves? Well, such enthusiasm inevitably overflows outwardly toward everyone we encounter. One thing which drains such enthusiasm is the idea that we must maintain a popularity rating as we are challenged with our dog-eat-dog world rather than God's world. Herbert Byard Swope, he was a one-time newspaper columnist and publisher. He was also one of the most influential Americans from the early to mid-20th century. He was a confidant to presidents, to business people, industrialists. He was well known. He was also known as one of the leading croquet champions in the United States as well. But he said one time, "I don't know the secret to success, but I'll tell you the secret for sure of failure: trying to please everyone." Criticism should not deter us from grasping the larger picture. Without God, we are nothing, and should do our best to make our faith as joyful as possible. Now, that doesn't mean we gloss over life's difficulties concerning ourselves nor others. We should be serious about the problems of those around us and our own. But at the same time, it should not cause us to sink into the mire of despair every time. And we have a hope that is there, and that hope is God. You know, returning to verse 9 is interesting to review here. And we have to keep that in mind, that our conduct and foundation must always be centered upon the Lord. And it says, "Cling to what is good." God is good. God is always good. Sincerity, not hypocrisy, was what Paul meant, whether it is enthusiasm, patience, prayer, hospitality, or love through devotion to God as our primary focus. It must be clear that love is not mere sentimentality. True love shuns evil, for evil can never benefit any person who is a child of God. Through enthusiasm, love will veto evil every time. So when Paul incidentally wrote, "Cling to what is good," actually expressed a colorful Greek verb, kalo, which can mean to paste. Now think of it in a sort of a tongue-in-cheek way as super glue or crazy glue theology. Our attachment to God is a very firm connection, not just casual approval. In plain talk, God literally sticks to us eternally. Our lives should be committed to goodness, kindness, and most interestingly, and I added verse 13, it's not on the original sermon, but it's a term called hospitality, and I think it connects with all this. Some people promote their own holier-than-thou attitude, undergirded by self-centeredness, but it has little to do with God, sadly enough. Now, if there are things absent in your faith which displays a lack of love or even compassion, then ask God for help to eradicate such spiritual lethargy forever. A reminder of what the composer Salieri said in his last days when he cynically compared himself to Mozart. He said, "I am the patron saint of mediocrity. Never let us who claim to be people of faith be guilty about such a charge of being a mediocre Christian." I have an experiment for you to do. Next time your telephone rings, instead of just saying hello, say hello with a smile on your face. I don't care if it's the tax collector, I don't care if it's a telemarketer or whatever. Just put a smile on your face. Now, am I saying somebody will be able to say no? But you know what? It can change the entire development of the conversation. For example, every time I visited New York City, I have yet to meet a rude person. Now, New York City is known as the harbingers of rude people. I've never encountered it. Why? I've always tried to go with an attitude that I'm going to be cordial, friendly, and have a smile on my face. And guess what? It works every time. So remember that. That is a sign of enthusiasm and encouragement to others. It actually spreads. It really spreads like wildfire. So try that sometime. But never, never, as I said, be people who are mediocre in attitude for being lovable, generous, and enthusiastic. That is not a good barometer for a Christian to have. But you know what? If you don't have it now, with God, you may ask God to give you those attitudes. And God will, because with God's help, all things are possible. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God and Heavenly Father, help us to be more enthusiastic about our faith, our relationship to you, our own selves, and those that we come in contact with, whether it's family or friends. Help us in the struggle sometime when we don't feel up to par, when we feel sort of down in the dumps. But let us remember that you are always there for us to keep us in your steadfast care and watch over us. We give thanks and we ask your forgiveness when we take you for granted. We pray, O God, as we start every new week, we pray that we know that we will walk with you, but go ahead of us so that people may know that we are one of your children. We pray this through the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Now let us affirm our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ through the Creed as we recite it. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, he was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. God bless all of you as we start a new week. Amen.